praktyczna wiedza, specjaliści z doświadczeniem. To wszystko i wiele więcej w podcast Praktyczna Strona Treningu. Zapraszam, Artur Mor.
Cześć. Gościem dzisiejszego odcinka specjalnego jest bez dwóch zdań światowy autorytet i osoba, która dla fizjoterapii zrobiła wiele. Ben Cormack. Ben jest popularnym międzynarodowym prelegentem, który wygłaszał prezentacje na konferencjach i kursach w ponad 25 krajach na całym świecie. Dodatkowo mój gość współpracował z indywidualnymi specjalistami, służbami zdrowia, klinikami czy elitarnymi sportowcami oraz organizacjami do spraw bólu. Z takich rzeczy ważnych, już w czerwcu w ramach projektu Praktyczna Strona Treningu poprowadzi szkolenie stanowiące esencję jego warsztatu pracy, no, który często jest drzazgą w oku dla dogmatów wielu branżowych guru. No i wraz z Benem zdecydowaliśmy, że w oczekiwaniu, oczekując na jego wizytę w Polsce, nagramy podcast, w którym to Ben będzie odpowiadał na wasze pytania. Zatem bez zbędnego przeciągania zaczynajmy. Hi Ben, it's great to have you in front of the microphone. As we agreed, I will hit you with quick Q&A so the Polish audience can get to how you better. Ready?
I'm ready, my friend. Thank you for inviting me.
All right. The first question is, what is the role of the exercise therapy in physiotherapy?
I think, firstly, when I went to university many years ago, it was very manual. It was very interventions and heat packs and electrotherapy, and we didn't move people enough. So movement is about health. Movement is about showing people they are strong and they're robust. So for me, the movement side of it is about proving to people they are strong, they are capable, they can achieve what they want to achieve. And it's such an important component of the recovery process, not just rubbing, poking, moving. The exercise movement part of it is a real strong thing for me, both neurally and physically.
The next question, I think, is a little bit tricky question. Now, in physiotherapy, in Poland especially, it's quite popular optimal loading. And the question is, how would you define optimal loading?
Obviously, the original discussion was Phil Glasgow. He did a paper in BJSM 2015, 2014, talking about his perceptions of optimal loading. For me, it depends what we are discussing. So optimal loading for someone with a very, very acute, painful problem would take into account our knowledge of pain, their symptomatic response, and finding a level of loading that they can tolerate that keeps them moving without provoking too many symptoms. That might not be pain-free, but is going to be optimal or appropriate for them. So sometimes we overload things that should be loaded less, and sometimes we underload things that should be loaded more. And optimal loading is taking all of those patient characteristics into account to find the right level. Now, this is for me is a spectrum or a continuum. At one end, we have a painful problem and optimal loading needs to respect pain. At the other end of the spectrum, get my hand in the shot, we need to respect that optimal loading will create the sufficient adaptations that we want, right? So we have a spectrum between painful problem, return to play, and optimal loading is about finding the right level of loading at the right time for me. That's how I would define optimal loading.
Mm-hmm. All right. For me, it's okay. you know, because it's always tricky. Eh? We don't have one definition of the optimal loading. It always depends from context of the patient, from context of therapeutic, from a lot of context. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Let's continue this. When you add the load and when you reduce it.
Again, it might be irritability of symptom or severity of symptom. Both of those things might define how much we dose or how much we load. So sometimes I think if we look at the patient characteristic, if someone loads a lot and does a lot of exercise and is already used to doing lots of load, is more load the answer? Is the question that I sometimes ask myself. If there's lots of load, do I always add more load or do sometimes I need to take some load away? You know, if you have a triathlete doing 40 hours of exercise a week, is more exercise the answer? So sometimes, again, I think we have to look at how much load this person need, how much load are they already under? So I'm going to throw another curveball in there. Sometimes it's not about adding or taking away, it's doing a different load. Sometimes it's about saying, can we have a different load, not more, not less?
Sometimes monotony is a problem.
Yeah, absolutely. And the fact that that person psychologically needs to load. We see that a lot with athletes, but physically they're not very tolerant of that load. And that's sometimes where we maybe need to find an alternative load that satisfies people physically and psychologically. But then we might take someone who's very, very sedentary, very unhealthy, doesn't engage, lots of comorbidity, that end of the pain spectrum that maybe is more difficult. And maybe there we need to add a little bit more load, add a bit more activity. So again, it comes back to who is this person? Do they need more? Do they need less? Do they need something different?
Now I will use this context that you are traveling a lot and you meet with many physiotherapists around the world. In reference to this, here are the next question. The first one is mine. Do cultural conditions in the field of physiotherapy differ significantly in various countries?
Absolutely. Educational levels can be very, very different. One of the big barriers, I think, is actually the English language. Because in many countries that I go to, my next trip is to Peru, to Lima in Peru. And one of the problems that people have is that things like evidence and the evidence base are a problem because people aren't always English literate and all of the evidence is often in English. And so what that...
No, we have those translators, yeah, even in Google or AI. Now it's easy to translate from English to any other language.
I agree, but not everyone does it.
All right. Yeah. So, the language is the problem, yeah?
Yes. I think language can be one barrier. And then also, because of that, sometimes there's not a culture of education and of evidence-based medicine. Some countries that I go to, even some countries in Europe, actually, they'll still be very...
Which one is the worst?
I'm not going to answer that question, Arta.
Oh, man. Let's lose something.
No,
someone.
I can't answer. They'll end up hating me and it'll be too bad for me.
All right.
So, but I do think that we do see a wide range of understanding of things like pain. A lot of places can be very treatment focused. So there's not a lot of knowledge on conditions. There's not a lot of evidence-based knowledge of what we know now. There can be a reliance on passive treatments and lasers and machines and that type of thing. So there is a real big difference between Asia, South America, Europe, these type of things. So yes, massive difference over the world.
The similar question in the same topic. What gaps in education do physiotherapists report on a global scale? What is the biggest problem for them, for one of them?
Two things. One would be an understanding of pain. I think we still have a very pathological, physical perception of what pain is, not understanding a more modern biopsychosocial perspective and that pain doesn't always equal damage and understanding that maybe we can't always identify a specific tissue and also understanding that pain affects our lives and affects people. And then I also think exercise is another area where people lack knowledge, both from a pain-related perspective as how does exercise help painful problems and how does exercise help health problems as well. And they're the two big things that I would say. So pain and health and exercise would probably be the two areas that I see the most lacking in education.
Do they complain on the academic education or it's just a global problem that in some countries the knowledge about exercise and things that you told me now is not popular?
I think a little bit of both. I think because sometimes there's a lack of education and a lack of focus that leads to not being popular. musculoskeletal treatment in some parts of the world is still get a massage, get some ultrasound, get a hot pack. And I think anything outside of that isn't really seen as treatment. Maybe you need to hand that over to a trainer or something else. That isn't seen as musculoskeletal treatment. That would just be seen as, I don't know, something else.
Thanks, Ben. On June 22 and 23, you will conduct a functional therapy masterclass in Katowice in Poland. And my question is, what can participants expect from this event and what they will relearn?
Yeah, so what I always aim, first thing that I aim to bring with all my courses is the best, newest, latest research and data. I think that's so important that we up to date with our knowledge of things like back pain, up to date with our knowledge of things like exercise, up to date with how specific we may need to be with treatments, and using this research to guide us, but also understanding at the same time we have an individual in front of us that doesn't always totally reflect the research. So how do we kind of bridge that gap? We're going to talk a bit about things like communication strategies and how we get the most information from our patient to help us. We're going to talk about modern constraint-based approach to movement, how we can change the environment and how we can get people moving in some different ways. We are going to do some case studies and look at how we may view health and rehabilitation from a broader biopsychosocial perspective. We're going to talk lots and lots about back pain. What do we actually know? Not what can you read on the internet, or not what do you see on Instagram, but what does the actual data say? And then how we can start to build that into some treatment programs that look at not just the acute phase of back pain, but all the way to getting people strong and robust as well.
Now in social media, not now, but last few years, it's quite popular, this biopsychosocial model. And the question, hot or not, from my point of view, it's starting to be like exactly the same phrases like holistic. Yeah. What is your opinion?
Yeah, I wrote a blog when people still read blogs, right, many years ago. And it was called, is the biopsychosocial model just another buzzword? So absolutely. What we need to understand is what does it mean? And I've written some academic work on this. So what does it mean and how does it actually affect us in practice? And I think when we can look at the broader understanding of environment's effect on health, patient comorbidity, all of these other things, we start to understand a little bit more sometimes why we're not successful and maybe how we could be a little bit more successful. One of the problems of the term biopsychosocial is it probably means a different thing to everyone that uses it. And that's what we talked about in a paper that I wrote back in 2022. It's like, what the fuck does it really mean anyway? Right? Yeah. I apologize for my language, but it needed to come out.
I think we have a big problem with those pretending to be specific words or terms like this optimal loading, like BPS model, holistic, and many others. Yeah.
Yeah.
They usually stop explaining anything, and now we have more problems with them.
Yeah, I think it does come back to, if you're going to use these terms, you have to say, is this person defining them? And are they well respected in the field of using them? Right? So yeah. Are they using it on an Instagram slide, or have they published work in this area? Have they presented on these type of things? So I think it's important we also kind of look behind the curtain as well. So talk to the people that maybe have defined it a little better, rather than just use it in a very throwaway type of way.
Okay, thank you, Ben. It's quadrants of our conversation. I think we should stop here now. Thank you for your time, and probably like the other registrations, participants of your masterclass, I'm looking forward to our meeting in June. What can I say? All the best, Ben, and see you in June.
Absolutely. We're going to have some fun. We're going to have some laughs. We're going to have some debates, and we'll have some action as well, and it will be good.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much, Ben. See you. Bye-bye.
Odsłuchałeś odcinek podcastu Praktyczna strona treningu. Jestem właściwie pewien, że zainteresuje Cię mój drugi podcast o nazwie Praktyczna strona dietetyki. Polecam, Artur Mor.